Blog Talk Radio.
Baruch Hashem, this is Fundamentally Mormon coming to you live on this 12th day of December 2018. I am your host, Mark Lichtenwalter, and the guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We are in Chapter 5 of Blood Atonement, The Vengeance of Innocent Blood, which you can read for free online at ogdenkraut.com. Click on Read Ogden's Books and scroll down to Blood Atonement, and we're in Chapter 5. So I'll be posting this as I post all videos on Zion's Redemption Bookstore page on Facebook. We are live streaming on Facebook and YouTube. You can find the YouTube video at youtube.com/user/God is my compass, or go to channel name Messiah Ben Joseph, like and share and subscribe and all the fun things there. Also, live streaming on Facebook, facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. So let's get right into this. Today we're reading, like I said, The Vengeance of Innocent Blood, Chapter 5 of Blood Atonement. Let's see here. So if anybody has anything to say, you can speak to me on my on the live video. If you're watching during the live video, I don't really respond to Messenger too much. If you do have a question, please be specific. If you go to Messenger and message me in that way, I get so many messages of, hi, how are you doing, where are you from, all those kind of things, that I don't really look at Messenger too much. So, but if I see somebody say something other than hi and, you know, what's your name or some stupid thing like that, I might actually respond to you. But it's like, you're the one messaging me, so... Oh, brother. Anyway, yeah, somebody just messaged me. Have you heard the good news going around? What, that I won the lottery on Facebook that doesn't exist or whatever? Anyway, continuing, let's just get right into the reading. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth you good, and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Yirmiyahu, with the Gentiles called Jeremiah, chapter 26, verses 14 and 15. When innocent blood is shed, it is called murder. But when the wicked have their blood shed, it is called execution. A person guilty of capital crime should receive capital punishment. Then justice has been served. However, if an innocent person is murdered, then according to the scriptures, his blood cries from the ground for vengeance. Like all of the babies aborted since Roe versus Wade. In this country, millions and millions of babies, innocent babies. Anyway, when innocent blood is spilled, retribution must be made, for justice has been robbed and demands satisfaction. We're on page 36 of Blood Atonement by Ogden Kraut. According to the scriptures, every innocent man who has been murdered has blood that cries from the ground for vengeance. That blood remains in the constant appeal to Jehovah for justice, and the promise is that it will be reconciled somewhere in the eternal scales of justice. In every instance of an innocent victim who dies by the hand of a murderer, a just compensation must be met by the murderers or by the murderer. This justice may come in the form of an execution, war, persecution, or pestilence. But until that justice is met, their blood will cry to Jehovah for vengeance. Consider the following scriptures. And Jehovah said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? So Jehovah said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Rejoice, O ye nations, with his people, Jehovah's people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance to his adversaries, and will be merciful unto his land and to his people. Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 43. The Book of Mormon also describes this vengeance that must eventually come upon those who shed innocent blood. Quote, behold, the sword of vengeance hangeth over you, and the time soon cometh that he avengeth the blood of the saints upon you, for he will not suffer their cries any longer. Mormon chapter 8, verse 41. For behold, they murdered all the prophets of Jehovah who came among them to declare unto them concerning their iniquities. And the blood of those whom they murdered did cry unto Jehovah their God, or their Elohim, for vengeance upon those who were their murderers. And thus the judgments of Jehovah did come upon these workers of darkness and secret combinations. Alma chapter 37, verse 30. And now behold, my beloved brethren, for ye ought to be beloved, yea, and ye ought to have stirred yourselves more diligently for the welfare and the freedom of this people. But behold, ye have neglected them, insomuch that the blood of thousands shall come upon your heads for vengeance. Yea, for known unto God were all their cries and all their sufferings. Alma chapter 60, verse 10. We're on page 37 of Blood Atonement. And again, it is expedient that thou shouldest forbear, for if thou shouldest slay thy son, he being an innocent man, his blood would cry from the ground to Jehovah our Elohim for vengeance to come upon thee. And perhaps thou wouldest lose thy soul. Alma chapter 30, verse 13. I wish I had a studio and a fly swatter. I got all of these stupid flies in here, and they are driving me absolutely insane. Oh, brother. Anyway, I don't have a studio or a fly swatter, because you can't buy fly swatters in the middle of wintertime, because apparently flies don't actually live in the wintertime. Anyway, let's see. And thou hast shed the blood of a righteous man, yea, a man who has done much good among his people. And were we to spare thee, his blood would come upon us for vengeance. Therefore, thou art condemned to die according to the law which has been given us by Mosiah, our last king. And it has been acknowledged by this people. Therefore, this people must abide by the law. Alma, and that's the Torah, actually. Alma chapter 3, verses 13 through 16. You know, when I lived in Spanish Fork, we never had flies. And we moved out here to Emery County, Utah, and there's like cattle like in a field over there, and there's horses across the street, and like you can't get rid of the flies. I don't know. Maybe we got a dead animal up in the attic or something. That's kind of not a good thought, right? But I don't know. I'm plagued with them, so. Got a bug bomb the house, I guess, again. But anyway, the question may arise as to what innocent blood means, or to whom it refers. Is it a person who is innocent of any crime that would demand capital punishment? is it a person who has been baptized and considered spirit and is considered spiritually innocent? Or is it a person who has received higher ordinances in the temple and has been washed clean and is innocent of the blood of that generation? Can a child or a baby be considered someone who has innocent blood? In trying to answer these questions, the following information should be considered. Abortion has been considered a form of murder by some. To others, it is only a legal means of birth control. People wanted to do birth control, they should practice abstinence. If they don't want children, they should practice abstinence. That's why there is a commandment for God's people to be abstinent. So, and if you can't do that and you get pregnant, then maybe you should have the baby. Because I don't care what, how far along it is. If it's growing and it has the potential to be born, then it is a human and it is alive. It's growing. It's not your body. It is the body. It's its own body, the fetus's body, the little baby's body. And if you murder it, you're a murderer and you deserve to burn, as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, and if you have done that in the past and you have repented, may God have mercy on your soul. But if you have not repented, there is no such mercy for you. Anyway, some organizations regard it as a wise measure to prevent the mistake of overpopulation or a rightful measure of women's liberation. In some instances, it is an excuse for material gain or prosperity. In the Soviet Union, tens of thousands of women paid 5 rubles, or about $6, for an abortion. One Russian mother claims that she didn't know of any woman who had not had an abortion. In this country, the Supreme Court, members of the medical profession, and most of the citizens are claiming that abortion is legal and moral, and this from a people that consider themselves a Christian nation. So life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness should apply to every child conceived. And for people to say that it's unconstitutional to destroy or not have our excuse me, like, it's unconstitutional to make abortion illegal, they trample over the rights of the most innocent among us, because that little child who they are killing in the womb has the right under the Constitution for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And whenever a woman says, my body, my choice, well, it's not your body. And your choice to kill that little innocent fetus, or that little innocent baby, is murder. So, and how come you can have, if I were to murder a pregnant woman who was pregnant in the first trimester or second or whatever trimester, I could be charged for 2 murders. But if a woman decides to kill her own baby, then that's perfectly legal. It makes no sense to me. Anyway, continuing. In the state of New York, there are more abortions than there are babies who are allowed to be born. Civil law is not opposed to the measure which prevent pregnancies, yet people demand legislatures and hospitals to correct their own childbearing mistakes. Page 38. It was Pharaoh and Herod that killed all of the male babies under 2 years of age, and it was considered a horrible and unspeakable crime. Yet in our own country, each year we are killing little boys and girls by the millions more than Pharaoh and Herod ever did. And you've got these way far left liberals that think that any child even under the age of 2 should be able to be murdered. If the parent doesn't want them anymore, they should be able to euthanize them. So we're like animals, I guess, because you can do that to a dog and a cat and whatever. But anyway, the same Supreme Court that has legalized baby abortion has also ruled against capital punishment for murderers. They consider capital punishment as cruel and unusual for a murderer, but is considered legal and moral if a baby is given capital punishment for the crime of her mother not being able to close her legs. Seriously. But what is the baby guilty of? The legal system in this country kills babies with national approval, but protects murderers from a similar fate. What shall be wrong are those what is the scripture like in the last days? The right will be wrong and wrong will be right? Not wrong or something. But executing a murderer who is destroying society is not unusual. Neither is an execution cruel, which occurs in this in a split second. So it's okay for the murderer to murder somebody, but it's not okay for you to murder the murderer. The Supreme Court approves of the death or execution of babies. And that kind of butchery is not considered cruel or unusual. Such reversals in legalization not only raise the question of morality, but of sanity. Our nation is killing the innocent and protecting the guilty. We have become a corrupt nation offering human sacrifice to the false gods of overpopulation, women's liberation, and wealth. How much longer will the innocent blood of these babies cry for vengeance upon this nation before retribution is made? It cannot become much worse to be as bad as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, or as Noah saw the world. But to affirm more substantially what Jehovah has said about shedding innocent blood, we read that it is often the means of condemning the wicked. For Jehovah suffereth the righteous to be slain, that his justice and judgment may come upon the wicked. Therefore, ye need not suppose that the righteous are lost because they are slain. But behold, they do enter into the rest of Jehovah their Elohim. Alma chapter 60, verse 13. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the soul of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. Psalms chapter 72, verse 13. Page 39. Sometimes innocent women and children become witnesses by shedding their own blood. From the Book of Mormon came a very vivid description of just such an event. When Amulek saw the pains of the women and children who were consuming in the fire, he also was pained. And he said unto Alma, how can we witness this awful scene? Therefore, let us stretch forth our hands and exercise the power of God which is in us and save them from the flames. But Alma said unto him, the Spirit constraineth me, that I must not stretch forth my hand, for behold, the Lord receiveth them up unto himself in glory, and he doth suffer that they may do this thing, or that the people may do this thing unto them, according to the hardness of their hearts. That the judgments which he shall exercise upon them in his wrath may be just, and the blood of the innocent shall stand as a witness against them, yea, and cry mightily against them at the last day. Alma chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. Psalms chapter 72, verses 13 and 14. Sometimes innocent women and children become witnesses by shedding their own blood. From the Book of Mormon came a very... Okay, that's weird. Little typo there. Let me just see if I can get past this, because we just read it. Excuse me. Okay, so we're on page 40 now. Among those who also had innocent blood are the prophets of Jehovah, who have been killed throughout the history of the world. In the Book of Mormon, Jehovah once sent fire and destruction upon the people so that the blood of the prophets and the saints whom I sent among them might not cry unto me from the ground against them. 3 Nephi chapter 9, verse 11. It was the worst destruction that ever came upon that people. Yeshua also warned the Jews that the calamity that was going to befall his generation and told them the reason why it would happen. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye have killed and crucified, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, for the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Matthew, Mataniah, chapter 23, verses 34 and 36. So something that I keep on thinking about with all of these Jews that reject Yeshua, who the Gentiles call Jesus Christ, and I'm going to say it again, and I'll probably say it again, but Jeremiah or Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other prophets were sent to the Jews to get them to repent before the destruction of Shlomo's temple or Solomon's temple, the first temple of Jehovah. Amos said, surely the Lord God will do nothing except for basically warns his servants, the prophets. And it is by the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word is established. So why is it that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and would send multitudes of prophets to warn the people to repent before the destruction of the first temple, but the Jews cannot accept that God, Jehovah, our Elohim, sent many prophets before the destruction of the second temple, those prophets being his only begotten son, Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua ben Yosef, who is also known as Jesus the Christ, or Zachariah ben, or no, it's Yochanan ben Zachariah, the Immerser, John the Baptist, or how about Peter, James, and John, or, Paul or any of the apostles. Jehovah sent these prophets to warn the people to repent before the destruction of the second temple. And then he scattered the Jews and all of Israel to the four corners of the earth until recently, within the history of our earth, 1948. And I know the history before that, but you reject the prophets, you refuse to repent, you don't accept Yeshua when he comes among you, and I don't understand how you can sit there and say that God would allow the temple to be destroyed but not send a prophet among you. And if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, how can you reject the prophets that were sent? And if you reject Yeshua and Yochanan ben Zachariah or John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, what other prophets came to warn you to repent, Judah? What other prophets? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he sent many prophets before the destruction of the second temple or the first temple, then why didn't he do it according to your estimation when the second temple before the second temple was destroyed? From the lost books of the Bible come the story of the death of Zechariah the prophet or the priest and the retribution that befell those guilty of his murder. It reads, however, Zacharias was murdered in the entrance of the temple and the altar and about the partition, but the children of Israel knew not when he was killed. Then at the hour of the salutation, the priests went into the temple, but Zacharias did not, according to the custom, meet them and bless them. Yet they still continued waiting for him to salute them. And when they found he did not in a long time come, one of them ventured into the holy place where the altar was, and he saw blood lying on the ground, congealed. Then behold, the voice of heaven said, Zacharias is murdered, and his blood shall not be wiped away until the revenger of his blood come. The Protevangelion, page 37. So I wonder if this is talking about Yochanan's, John the Baptist's father, because he was murdered because he wouldn't give up Yochanan when they, you know, they were going to kill all the two-year-olds. That's why John was actually in the wilderness, because they were hiding him from the authorities who ordered all of those male children to be murdered. So anyway, I think it is the same Zacharias, but anyway. The vengeance which befell those guilty of Zacharias' murder is recorded in both the Jerusalem and the Babylonish Talmud. The blood of the prophet and priest Zechariah was not wiped away until 94,000 people were slain. The crime of murdering this prophet resulted in seven evils that day. They murdered a priest, a prophet, and a king. They shed the blood of the innocent. They polluted the court. That day was Shabbat and the day of expiation. In our own dispensation, many Latter-day Saints have died by the hands of murderers and assassins. That blood also cries from the ground for vengeance. Even before Joseph and Hiram Smith were killed, the Lord spoke of destructions that were coming upon all nations, so that the cry of the saints, quote, the cry of the saints and of the blood of the saints shall cease to come up into the ears of the Lord of Shabbat, Sabaoth, from the earth, to be avenged of their enemies. Doctrine and Covenants, section 87, verse 7. Then after Joseph Smith and his brother were killed, the Lord said, for they killed the prophets and them that were sent unto them, and they have shed innocent blood, which crieth from the ground against them. Doctrine and Covenants, section 36, Doctrine and Covenants, section 136, verse 36. Okay, so the live streaming portion of the radio show is about to end. If you want to watch it, you can watch it on YouTube at youtube.com/ God is my compass. Or go to Facebook and watch it there, facebook.com/ LAZURUS 1977. Or you can call in. The guest call-in number to listen is 917-889-8827. Continuing. On his way to the Carthage jail, the prophet Joseph Smith said, I am going like a lamb to the slaughter, but I am calm as a summer's morning. I have a conscience void of offense towards God and towards all men. If they take my life, I shall die an innocent man, and my blood shall cry from the ground for vengeance. And it shall be said of me, he was murdered in cold blood. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 379. Many years later, in a revelation, the Lord said, "The blood of my servant Joseph and Hiram and of mine apostles and elders, which has been shed for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, cries from the ground for vengeance upon the nation which has shed their blood. But their blood shall speedily be avenged and shall cease to cry unto me, for the hour of God's judgment is fully come and shall be poured out without measure upon the wicked." And that's the 1880 revelation, which the current mainstream Mountain Brighamite Saints in Salt Lake City, Utah have archived, and they probably deny that it exists. But anyway, that's the 1880 revelation. Page 42. Brigham Young explained the nature and consequence of the shedding of innocent blood of a prophet. Quote, "Joseph was murdered at sunlight, under the protection of the most noble government that there ever existed and now exists on the earth. Has his blood been atoned for? No. And why? A martyr's blood to true religion was never atoned for on our earth. No man or nation of men without the priesthood has power to make atonement for such sin. The souls of all such, since the days of Jesus, are under the altar and are crying to God day and night for vengeance. And shall they cry in vain? God forbid. He has promised he will hear them in his own due time and recompense a righteous reward." Contributor, volume 10, verse 5. Excuse me. "The shedding of innocent blood or the killing of a prophet can never be completely atoned for, because the life cannot be returned. The shedding of innocent blood can be classed as one of the worst of all sins, for the prophet Joseph said, 'The unpardonable sin is to shed innocent blood or be accessory thereto.'" Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 301. "This shows that many apostates too have turned against their brethren in the priesthood and have shed innocent blood or been accessory thereto, and thereby have committed an unpardonable sin." Most of the apostates that I know are only apostate to the church, because the church is apostatized. And I don't think I know any apostates who have ever murdered innocent blood. So anyway, continuing. "The worst and most horrid example of the people suffering the vengeance of innocent blood were those who were responsible for the death of Yeshua, our Messiah. The Jews, by shedding their blood, the blood of their Messiah, suffered the wrath of Jehovah for nearly 2,000 years. They even asked for it. When Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, 'I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it.' Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and our children.'" Matthew chapter 27, verse 24 through 25. "The Jews, thinking to pacify or absolve Pilate so that he would grant them the privilege of killing or murdering their Messiah, asked for the blood of Messiah to be upon them and their children. Jehovah took them at their word and granted them their request. Within 40 years, the nation of the Jews was destroyed." So in one generation after the death of Yeshua, the Son of God. "According to history, over 1 million Jews died within a few days in a battle against the Romans. Their beautiful temple was destroyed, and not one stone remained upon another, according to the prophecy of Yeshua." And that includes the Western Wall. The Western Wall is not the temple. It is a retaining wall for the Antonio Fortress. It is very important for the Jewish temple to have a place of mikvah, or baptism, or the ceremonial washings, which the spring of Gihon, I think it is, would have been the one, and that's like not where the Western Wall is. So David, or Shlomo, Solomon, would not have built the temple where they think it is. So anyway, those who were left alive were taken to Rome and sold as slaves, and a few were scattered to the winds into many other nations. The Jews lost their national heritage, their priesthood, their genealogy, their priests, and their sacrifices. For nearly 2,000 years, this curse has befallen a race of people as an evidence of who their Messiah really was. And what a curse can befall a people who are guilty of shedding innocent blood. In these last days, when the blood of the innocent has been shed without retribution, we may witness the destruction and the vengeance of Jehovah upon this generation, much the same as it was in the days of Noah. This was the prophecy of Messiah concerning his second coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. The day is not far when Jehovah will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people against our generation. He will remove many worldly great men of the earth and replace them with weak and simple who are obedient to him. The mighty man and the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselors and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. To cleanse this wicked generation that has slain the blood of the prophets, priests, and innocent women and children, he will avenge their blood, and thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war. So devastating is this war that there shall be 7 women left where only 1 man remains. And that's according to Isaiah. John the Revelator, Yochanan the Revelator, asked Jehovah, asked Jesus, how long it would be before the righteous blood was avenged. And Yeshua answered, it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Revelations chapter 6, verse 11, page 44 of Blood Atonement. Thus we see the terrible vengeance that come upon the nations or people who shed innocent blood. This nation, like so many of those in the past, has much innocent blood upon the land, and the day is not far hence when God shall come out of his hiding place to vex the nations for their crimes and abominations, so that the blood of the innocent will no longer cry for vengeance. So when we come back, whenever that is, we'll be on page 45, which is chapter 6, Capital Punishment in the Scriptures, which, like I said, is chapter 6 of Blood Atonement. So, anyway, I will post this on my Facebook page, Zion's Redemption Bookstore. And also, this live video will be on my own personal page, my wall, at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. And that's it. Thank you for watching. Take care, everyone. Shalom Aleichem, and God bless, and we'll be back on later. Take care. Bye.